Welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. Our topic today is experiencing more of God's presence amid the chaos, the unknowns, and the distractions of life. If that sounds a little vague to you, or perhaps too broad, you're exactly right. But that's because the encouragement God laid on my heart today to share with you is applicable in any situation of life. Of course, my example is, as always, specific to what is currently consuming my days, and unfortunately many of my nights as well. However, I think you'll be able to relate in every way, as we all struggle from time to time with long, frustrating days and overwhelming projects that threaten to drain our hope, sabotage our trust, and keep us from seeing Jesus in the midst of it all. And sometimes the opposite is true. We are so busy enjoying the good things of life that our comforts and distractions keep us from God's presence. So whether you're in a season of exhaustion or enjoying a refreshing summer break, I invite you to join me now as we explore our need for and the way to experience more of God's presence. There is virtually no part of my life that is not in disarray right now. I'm surrounded by pieces. Not broken pieces, thank goodness, but it does feel as though I'm surrounded by millions of scattered parts littered across the battlefield of a cross-country move. As many of you know, I have been on a brief hiatus from the Glimmers blog while my husband and I transitioned from Maine to California. And while today's message may be a little shorter than normal, I desperately needed to return to something familiar as quickly as possible for both my sanity and my sense of belonging. However, even with the deep longing in my heart to serve God as He has called me, the most addictive craving to keep working and achieve complete order from my chaotic surroundings was surprisingly and overwhelmingly alluring this morning as I stood in the shower and contemplated the day ahead. At least today wouldn't feel like Groundhog Day, a reference to the classic Bill Murray movie, not the date in February. Today, I mused as I stood in my new bathroom, wondering again which drawer I put my hairbrush in. I would at least do something other than deal with boxes, service contractors, and address changes. Of course, I am also a planner and organizer by nature, so even though I color-coded, labeled, and meticulously numbered all of my boxes and can search their contents in a master spreadsheet, yes, I really did that, my life is still utterly unorganized right now. Despite my best efforts to make the move easier, my excessive organization didn't prevent my being overwhelmed by the deluge of boxes in every room. Nor could I have anticipated all the work being compounded by 10 once we arrived and realized how little the previous owners had done to maintain their home. Even the furniture we purchased and the accessories we bought to make life easier are all in pieces. Take, for example, the beautiful new cherry finish step stool I purchased to match my ultra-tall kitchen cabinets. I've always acknowledged that I'm on the shorter side, but my new kitchen makes me feel absolutely minuscule in height. And since I can barely reach the second shelf in the majority of my cabinets, I figured a matching step stool sitting in my kitchen would be better than our old metal one, with its paint dribbles and emerging rust lines. But like everything else, it seems, I can't take advantage of that stool's better height and attractiveness until I take the hour or two or three required to assemble all 57 pieces. You heard that right. 57 ridiculous pieces for a simple step stool. I've never been fond of puzzles. So as far as I'm concerned, the path to reaching new heights is paved with tedium and irritation. But as I spread out those endless pieces on my kitchen floor and pondered whether I had it in me to begin the assembly process yet again, I suddenly became acutely aware of the cool, solid feel of the tile beneath my feet. My floor didn't need assembly. It had needed a deep cleaning for sure, which it did receive, but it was not in pieces when we moved in. It was steady and doing a simple job well. And in that moment, with temperatures outside soaring near 100, it brought me comfort. Like the shade Jonah sought in the overwhelming and sweltering landscape of Nineveh, found in Jonah chapter 4, the cool tiles reminded me of God's endless provision. He is the solid, comforting foundation that never moves. always stable, and beckoning me to take a break and find refuge in his unwavering strength and the refreshment of his spirit. Like Jonah, God had told my husband and I to come here to this new place, and just like the pouting prophet, I wanted to run away from the job and throw up my hands in exasperation. Over the last few months, I have certainly related to Jonah's words in chapter 4, verse 5, "Just kill me now, Lord." But God is faithful to complete the good work in us and through us every time. And even during the hard lessons and excruciating work, he loves us enough to comfort us and teach us at the same time. Even though Jonah was angry with God for sending him to serve in Nineveh, and even more resentful when the entire city turned away from evil to receive salvation, God patiently but firmly comforted and corrected him. In the passage from Jonah 4, God used everyday things to speak to Jonah's heart: a broad-leafed plant, a worm, and a blistering wind. Everything and everyone is under God's dominion, and he uses whatever it takes to reach those he loves. The key, of course, is that we are open to seeing and hearing him through all those things: big, small, difficult, pleasurable, tedious, frustrating, and simple. The Holy Spirit used a cool tile floor to comfort me and correct my attitude. An everyday structure became holy ground in that moment. Like Jesus squatting down in the dirt to touch the blind beggar or raise the chin of a teary-eyed adulteress, God gets down on our level and in our muck to love us. There's nothing too sacred, overwhelming, or damaged for him. And if that isn't remarkable enough, we can find him with us in the trenches every day, not just when we've reached the end of our stamina, patience, or hope. The problem is, we usually wait, like Jonah, until we get into that predicament to see him. Growing up in a somewhat religiously legalistic culture, I used to believe that if I wasn't having a perfect daily quiet time with a specific amount of Bible reading and praying, that God wouldn't show up. I treated my relationship with God almost like a contract. If I do this and that, he will provide specific things. But if I were to fall down on my end of the bargain, he'd find plenty of other more deserving people to lavish his love and presence upon. And although that faulty and highly dangerous perspective is largely behind me, every now and then I hear ghostly echoes of its voice whispering doubts in my head, as if there's anything I could do to change, validate, or increase God's love for me or his involvement in my life. But on days where the tasks or struggles of life force you to get out of bed at the crack of dawn and not stop until the stars are long since out, Jesus doesn't withdraw his spirit just because the most you can eke out is a 30-second prayer as you fall asleep. The difference is how you seek him on the whole and moment by moment. The difference is that when life is somewhat normal and routine, that you choose him when you have the choice. Spending quality time with him becomes your priority. You choose him because you long for his presence so deeply, so genuinely, that you can almost feel the need physically, like thirst or hunger. That's the desire that the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 42. It says, quote, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him?" Unquote. Notice that David is asking himself more so than anyone around him. Quote, "When am I going to be able to take a break from all of this to just go be with God?" Unquote. That's not what I usually find myself asking. I usually pout like Jonah and mutter, "God, when is this going to end?" Or perhaps, "God, this stinks and I'm tired of it all." And I think that's why David is called the man after God's own heart. Even when he had every reason and obstacle in his way, he didn't let it taint or distract the longing in his heart for God, even when it meant his ability to formally worship God in a dedicated moment was impeded. He let that longing take precedence in his heart so that it filtered his vision, guarded his perspective, and sensitized his heart to an awareness of God's presence anywhere and at any time. Certainly, some of David's most compelling psalms were written amid the chaos on a battlefield littered with destruction and despair. Poetry isn't something most of us think is being written in the midst of disarray and danger, but for David and many others since him, inspiration can always be found in the muck and hardship of life if our hearts are open to looking for God to show up. So as I finish up this message today, I'm fighting the urge to rush so that I can return to the wooden puzzle of steps tool pieces laying on my kitchen floor, or the boxes of clothes sitting in the middle of my bedroom, or the stack of forwarded mail that needs to be sorted. Goodness, even choosing which thing to do next is hard. But this time, as I go back into the fray, I'm taking a deep breath and inviting God to interrupt me and my agenda with His presence, to remind me that even in the drudgery, there is joy. In the frustration, there is hope. In any moment, He simply is. In any moment, the great I Am is there for me. He is there for you. Now the decision is up to us. Will we have hearts like David that long for Him enough to get past our own perspectives and attitudes? Will we see Him sitting there with us among the boxes, battlefields, and new beginnings? Are we open to being taught, or are we just seeking the comfort of His shade and the provision of His hand? In all these things, Scripture encourages us to trust before we can see, to believe before we can walk. Ephesians 3:17-18 says, quote, "Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is," unquote. In verse 17, I love the phrase, "as you trust Him," because it reminds me that our ability to experience Jesus is a growth process. We get better at seeing His hand and leaning into His constant presence over time and with repeated practice. So let's keep going, my friend. We have a holy incentive better than any comfort on earth to stay the course and anticipate His presence every step of the way. Today's message is what I like to call a heart check. It wasn't a message filled with a great deal of heavy theology or really anything particularly revealing. In some ways, it would be easy to just leave it here and not spend any more time thinking about it. But I don't really want you to spend a lot of time thinking about it. Rather, I believe there are times where we should get our heads out of the game entirely. The message today is for your heart and its posture, motivation, and desire before God and for God Himself. No words can really describe what needs to happen between your heart and God's. The psalmist tried, and he did a wonderful job, led by the Holy Spirit, to put into words what it's like to long for God the way He wants us to. But words fail when it comes to seeing Jesus, to experiencing His presence. All you need to do is trust, surrender, and ask Him to open your eyes, and He will. But not like you expect, and usually without grand fanfare or a shocking display. No, He'll show up in the muck, or maybe on a simple tile floor. If today's message is tugging at your heart, don't shut this off and forget about it. Spend time having a heart-guided conversation with God. If you'd like a little encouragement, you can visit my blog for a free 5-day devotional guide with scripture readings and simple questions for reflection. Just go to the bottom of the written version of this podcast on my blog. And if the name of someone popped into your mind during the message, please pass on the encouragement to them by sharing this podcast or blog post with them. It has been good to be back producing Glimmers in the Fog, now from California and at a slightly different time of day, and I look forward to being with you again next week. In the meantime, I'll be praying for you on your journey with Jesus.